back here on 560 WQAM. Hour number four of the show, Zach Tortam, Rashad Butler. At the end of the hour, Rashad will be joined by Travis Wingfield to go over what he thinks the Dolphins will do in the draft. I know we want to ask him a couple of questions about his mock draft.
Mm-hmm.
He put out his mock draft 1.0. Check it out on Wingfield NFL, on Twitter or LockedOnDolphins.com. And he has the Dolphins trading back two times in the first round, acquiring some extra third and fourth round picks. And then he has them trading back up in the second round to get Chris Lindstrom, the guard from Boston College. We'll talk to him. And again, he was high on Minkah Fitzpatrick last year and was one of the people really touting Minkah before the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys, they tout a few people.
Correct.
They don't just pick one. But I wanted to give some credit where credit is due, so we'll talk to him at the end of the show. We'll update you as far as these basketball games go. You heard them there in the update. Nothing really great going on right now in terms of the NBA. Just a couple of duds.
You know, usually when you have these closeout games, they either go two ways. You have a team, as in Utah last night, that puts up a great fight, or you have teams in both Orlando and the Brooklyn Nets that are not putting up a fight at all. It goes, it goes one way or the other.
Speaking of fights, somebody texted in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, 560-22. Zach, I want to fight you. Meet me Friday, 1 p.m. at MMA Masters on 7245 25th Street. If you win 1 year, free burger fight or Chick-fil-A, you pick. I will be in the middle of Avengers Endgame, so you, sir, can buzz off.
You know what is funny? You and DQ can both chime in on this. I'm really thinking about taking mixed martial arts, like for a hobby.
It's a hell of a workout, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I've taken a few classes before. It'll kick your butt.
I mean, just to learn.
Yeah. It'll whip you into shape, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll humble you.
Yeah.
Real quick.
I'm pretty sure it will.
I mean, it's a lot of cardio.
Yeah. A lot
of cardio. And like, I know me. Lately I've been getting more into, cause I'm mm-hmm. more into the endurance races lately.
Yeah.
But when I was doing these MMA classes and then mm-hmm. like I used to powerlift in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Whew,
yeah.
Yeah. They don't go. I don't know your conditioning level really.
It's pretty good. So, but I mean, again, it's a different type of level of conditioning.
Oh no, no doubt. Yeah. No doubt. You gotta better make sure to have a Gatorade on you.
You know what? Maybe I should, try to get in contact with James Johnson. Doesn't he?
Like a super duper black belt.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, whatever the hell that means. So Rashad, we had the Canes spring game on Saturday. Got a lot of good developments in terms of the offense and what you can expect to see from the offense, and the quarterbacks all looked good. I think everybody was really happy with what they heard about Nikosi, Jaren, and Tate all having success on Saturday. But what now? Spring football is over. The practices are over. We're not going to get the sound bites. What is the next step for these players in terms of what happens after spring football?
Usually, and again, I'm just going to go off of my college experience. I mean, I don't know how much the NCAA has changed, if it has changed at all. But usually after spring football, you cannot have guys working mm-hmm. out or doing anything during exams. So I think a lot of these guys have final exams coming up within like the next week or next 2 weeks. And then after that, they don't get a chance to go home, because usually they get enrolled in both summer sessions, summer session one and summer session two. And I know when I was in school, both sessions were about 6 weeks. And during those 6 week sessions, two of them, which equates to 12 weeks, you work out with your strength and conditioning staff and, your teammates, and you are not allowed to have any contact with any coaches. So usually the coaches, they relate everything down to the strength and conditioning staff, who then relates everything to the players. And really the players usually work out, I would say Monday and Tuesday, they have Wednesday off, and then Thursday and Friday. And then they come in, they organize 7-on-7, with just themselves, as far as, the quarterbacks get together with the offensive line and the defensive line and, the linebackers and, the defensive backs and so forth. And they all, throw around the ball, and maybe O-line and D-line will break off separately and do, individual drills. So really for the next, I would say, 14 weeks or so until they kick off fall practice, it's just up to the guys to get in better shape with the strength and conditioning staff and take it upon themselves to hone in on skills that they may want to hone in on. Like, for instance, Tate Martell, I think he knows he needs to get better as far as under the gun. I mean, well, under the center, because, you know, he's been great at shotgun, mm-hmm. but we all know that Dan Enos wants to play an offense that's going to have, you know, a little bit of both as far as quarterbacks under the center and out the gun. So I think Tate Martell needs to really spend a lot of his summer just taking snaps under center, just, you know, getting his drops on point, so he can say to himself, you know what, I feel really comfortable in doing this. And I heard Dan Enos make a great comment in his interview. He said, you know, a lot of young players, they want to do things that they're good at all the time. But he's like, the great players, they do things more often that they're not good at, because they know that's what they need to improve in. I think that's what a lot of players need to do during this period, is do the things that they know that they weren't that good at during spring practice.
When do the guys who are not here mm-hmm. start to factor in? I know that a lot of them yeah. are on campus around May, mm-hmm. that's, if I'm not correct. So when do they start to factor into, you know, what these yeah. guys are doing off the field and what, they don't get onto the practice field yeah. until what, July?
Well, a lot of those guys, so guys like Jalen Phillips, I'm expecting those guys. Again, I don't know how you schools out in the West Coast operate, because I know when I was in school, Ohio State kind of, I know schools in the Big Ten kind of operated on that trimester program, mm-hmm. which is very, very weird to me. But if, I'm guessing if schools out West, especially UCLA, I don't know how they operate, but if they're not on that trimester program, then I'm assuming that the kid, what's it, Jalen Phillips? Like, is it Jalen Phillips, right?
Jalen Phillips, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll be down here. Again, if they're not operating on that trimester system, he'll be down here sometime within May or so, as far as after they finish exams.
Okay. You know, yeah. I wasn't sure, like, what steps that the players mm-hmm. take now, because, yeah. you know, we've been full-on Canes here the last few weeks, and now True. It comes to a screeching halt at the end mm-hmm. of three scrimmages, and we basically, well, the band doesn't get back together until June, July?
I would say in college, August. I would say, like, early August,
wow.
maybe.
Wow, and they yeah. have a game August 24th, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, again, I know back when I was playing, we didn't start back until early August. But, I mean, if they're playing August 24th, they may come back, I want to say, late July. But I don't see them coming back mid-July.
In terms of what to expect this mm-hmm. season, Rashad, I know it's kind of early to predict a lot of what's mm-hmm. what's going to happen with this Miami Hurricanes team. But, you know, you've got that game in the beginning of the season against the University of Florida, mm-hmm. a team that won, I think, 10 games last year, yeah. you know, destroyed Michigan in their bowl game. Mm-hmm. They're looking like they're coming together around Dan Mullen fairly well, had a couple of really good mm-hmm. recruiting classes here. And Miami is trying to get things back on the right track. I would say, besides Florida, the rest of the schedule is fairly manageable. You got a lot of games at home or in Miami, because mm-hmm. you got that game against FIU. Mm-hmm. That's not considered a home game. There's several weeks where Miami doesn't travel at all. But what are the expectations next year for the Miami here? I know from yeah. the fan base, we all know what they are. The U is back. Mm-hmm. The U is back. But from somebody who's a former alum, who's seen the program go in more of a roller coaster shape the last few years, the realistic expectations for the program moving forward are what?
Well, I'll say this before I throw out a record. I want the offense to be more efficient. And I want the quarterback play to be more efficient, and I want the offensive line play to be more efficient, because I think if both of those positions play more efficiently, then I think the Miami Hurricanes can have more success. Now, I'm not worried about the defense, because I think Manny Diaz has a lot of the players that he wants back that played a lot last year, you know, under the players or with the players that, you know, left. So I'm not worried too much about the defense. With me, it's just the quarterback play, as far as choosing a quarterback and sticking with that quarterback through thick and thin. And at the same time, choosing an offensive line group mm-hmm. and sticking with that group, you know, through thick and thin, and saying, hey, these are our five guys. And, you know, we're going to have backups just in case any of these five guys get hurt. But again, I just want more efficient play out of the quarterback position and the offensive line play. And I think if Miami can get efficient play out of both of those positions, honestly, I don't see why this team can be similar to Florida last year, where they can win 9 games and possibly 10, you know, with the bowl game. Now, I'm not going to say that I see this team, you know, winning 11, 12 games. I don't think we're there yet. But I do think that if we get efficient quarterback play and efficient offensive line play, looking at that schedule, I think that there's no reason why this team can't be a 9-win team and possibly a 10-win team, you know, winning a bowl game.
Yeah, look, I don't feel like those are out of the realm of a realistic possibility, considering the fact that I think it's a fairly favorable schedule besides that opening game against the University of Florida. Obviously, you're always going to have, you know, a tough opponent that you may not see coming, but the non-conference schedule is not all that difficult. Off the top of my head, it's Florida, Bethune-Cookman, Central Michigan, and FIU. Mm-hmm. So besides Florida, you've got 3 very winnable games. Then you look at the conference schedule. First game on the road against North Carolina, I feel like that's a winnable game. Mm-hmm. I know it's Mac Brown's, what, maybe his first home game.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like North Carolina is an overwhelming opponent.
Same.
Then you've got the conference schedule at home, Virginia and Georgia Tech, all in consecutive weeks. Mm-hmm. One of them is a Friday night, all at home.
But again, I mean, I'm going to say this. If the 5 guys up front can't protect who's ever at quarterback, and if whoever at quarterback cannot complete third downs, then, you know, I think this team will be where they were last year, a team with great defense, but that defense is being held back because the offense can't do much. So again, I mean, I think it comes down to the 5 guys up front and whoever is behind that center. And to me, that's the season right there.
Well, it is interesting. Maybe if you can get a punter who punts more than 28 yards, things might be a little different. But obviously, you like to be able to extend drives on third down and, you know, not be only converting maybe 30% of your third downs.
I agree. And one thing you brought up, too, the other day when we were over at 790, you know, I am a little worried about the kicking because at the same time, you're not going to be able to score touchdowns, you know, every drive. And you're going to need to put 3 points on the board. And I know you told me that. Bubba Baxter has been kind of shaky throughout this whole entire spring.
He's missed a couple of kicks off the crossbar, a couple of kicks inside the 30-yard line.
And, you know, we all know that right there can win and lose you ball games, period.
Well, it's the same as the scenario I presented you with the other day, and we got to get to break here. Yeah. But if the game's on the line and you're at the 33-yard line, it's 4th and 2, what are you going to do?
Exactly.
Do you trust that offensive line or do you trust the kicker who can't kick, you know, 25-yard field goals?
I agree.
That's a very tough thing to do. And, you know, let's say there's 8 seconds left in the game and it's you're down by 2.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough scenario to throw your kicker out there who in spring practice when the pressure is the least it's going to be all season is kicking 25-yard field goals off the crossbar.
Yeah.
If you guys want to get in, 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text lines where you can interact with us on the show. A couple more segments to go. At the end of the show, we're going to talk to Travis Wingfield, who does the LockedOnDolphins.com and Locked On Dolphins podcast about the Dolphins draft situation. So we'll do that in a couple of segments, and we'll give you a rundown of what's going on in the NBA, the NHL, and if the Marlins were able to win their 3rd out of 4 games. We'll do that on the other side right here on 560 WQAM. So hard to squeeze in meals when you work in sports radio, man.
I guess so, man.
It takes me. I'm a slow eater too. When I was about 20 years old, I had to get braces, and I had them for like 4 years.
Okay, never knew that.
So, I am a very slow eater because I used to have to like clean out my braces as I was eating.
Yeah, I bet.
Because a lot of food would get stuck. I had like a separator on the top of my mouth to like push my teeth out. So a lot of food would get stuck on the top.
You know what? I know I asked you before we came on air whether you, I guess, had a timer as to when you eat. Because I played with a guy in Brian Cushing who was a total like gym rat gym head, meat head, whatever you want to call it, to where he literally had a timer, and every time the timer went off, that's like when he would go eat.
No, I just eat when I'm hungry.
I hear you.
Yeah, I just make sure I'm not starving or anything like that, because I'm pretty soon my workouts will be ramping up a little bit. I'm actually swimming tomorrow. This one's pretty cool for me. I'm getting a swimming lesson tomorrow from former Olympian Dara Torres.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's awesome. I just started swimming. And so I pretty much intend to die tomorrow. I am not ready for what's about to happen tomorrow.
Well, I'll say this. Make sure you get a good, nice rest.
Well, I don't have much time to sleep, and I have clients. Like, the appointment is at 12. I have clients from 5 a.m. to 11.
Well, I'll say this then. Well, make sure you get a great meal in before that.
That's what I plan to do. So plan to do that. If you guys want to get in on the show, 560-22 is where you can do it. In the next segment, we will talk to Travis Wingfield about the Miami Dolphins draft. He does mock draft. You can check it out on his Twitter at WingfieldNFL or on LockedOnDolphins.com. Somebody texted in here. Am I a tool that should get my rear kicked if I bring blankets to the movie theaters for Infinity Wars?
Listen, I'll say this. You better have a woman with you, because if you are just bringing a blanket and you are a male, I'm sorry. Like, I'm making fun of you. I really
am. So if I bring a blanket and I'm sitting next to you, you're making fun of me.
I'm making fun of
you. Even though
you're
sitting next to me.
Yes, I'm making fun of you.
Okay. All right. I guess you might be making fun of me then. It's a 3-hour movie, man.
Well, hey, I mean, you were the one that were saying you were the one that said Beast brings a blanket. And the next time I see Beast, I'm going to get on him about that.
Oh yeah, he brings a blanket all the time.
Because that's funny.
Yeah. I just, you know, it could get cold in there, you know?
It's funny to me because every time I see Beast, he either A, has on a jacket, or B, has on a hoodie.
Correct.
So, I mean, how can you get cold if you have on A jacket or
Beast
B a hoodie?
Beast has a lot of body issues. Like, this, like, things mechanically in his body just don't work right.
But still, though, I mean, why are you bringing a blanket when you always have a jacket or a hoodie on?
Well, I don't think he goes to the movie theater with a blanket or a jacket.
What do you mean, a hoodie or a jacket?
I'm sorry, yes, with a hoodie or a jacket. I've seen one movie. I saw Star Wars, the last Star Wars, the episode 8. I think it was episode 8. No, okay. It was episode 7. I think I saw episode 7 with Beast. Beast and his boys.
Okay.
And yeah, he brought a blanket. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I mean, if you are a man bringing a blanket to a movie theater and you do not have a woman next to you, I'm making fun of you. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. There you go. There it is, Texter. There's your answer. With about 3 minutes to go in the game, the Raptors are going to advance to the next round to play the winner of the 76ers Nets, which is also a complete blowout right now. The Raptors lead the Magic 115-88 with 3 minutes to go. They're a few minutes away from clinching. Kawhi Leonard, 27 points, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. Currently, the 76ers have a 60-31 lead over the Nets at halftime.
You know what? I would just like to see Jared Dudley just say, you know what? I'm going out in flames. I'm just attacking Ben Simmons, and I'm picking a fight with either him or Joel Embiid just because.
Do it. I'm down for it.
Right.
I wanted to ask you this, Rashad. Knowing what you know now about these two series and the way they shaped out, are you... I'm trying to figure out the right way to phrase this, because the Heat don't have a high lottery pick, right? But would you have rather the Heat gone out like this in 5 in the first round, winning one game and getting swept in the last 4 games, or where they are now with maybe a better chance at a lottery pick? Like, knowing what you know now about how these series have gone down, especially with the 1-8 matchup, which is just a total blowout.
Well, to answer your question... And to answer your question honestly, knowing what I know now, yes, I think I would choose exactly where the Heat are at the present moment, knowing what I know now. But if I didn't know what I knew now, then I would like to see the Heat make it to the playoffs and see what they could have done against the Bucks, maybe 1 or 2 games.
I really don't think they would have done much different than any of these 3 teams did.
I hear you.
This is what we said about the Heat. Hey, they can maybe get to somewhere in the 6th seed, and they'll probably lose in 5 games. You know, and that's what these teams did. And Detroit did even worse. They barely showed up for a 4-game series. I think last night they had a decent night into the third quarter, and then they just got blown out in the fourth quarter by Milwaukee. I mean, that was going to happen to the Heat. It was going to end in five, my predictions. And, you know, what happened to the Orlando Magic is good for them. Mm-hmm. They hadn't been to the playoffs in forever, right? The Brooklyn Nets, this is good for them.
Yeah,
they hadn't been to the playoffs in forever, and had a couple bad trades a few years ago for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett.
Yeah,
but for that to happen to the Miami Heat, like, they've already been there. That's what they were last year. You made no ground up whatsoever, and, you know, you still have your draft pick, but at that point, you're talking about the 16th, 17th pick in the draft, and you can always find a guy that can contribute, but the further you are down the draft board, it is harder and harder to find a player who can turn into a star. And I find it hard to believe that, seeing how dominant the Raptors, Bucks, and 76ers, and even how dominant the Boston Celtics were, I have to believe that more people might have wanted the Heat to maybe tank a little bit more in terms of maybe getting a higher draft spot than what happened here to the Pistons, the Nets, and the Magic, who all got the doors blown off them at the end of the series.
No, I get you. And, I mean, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Did you see the Pistons? They weren't even competitive in that series.
Yeah, it wasn't.
They weren't even competitive. That was such a boring series.
Yeah, no, it was.
God, like, I mean, from a competitive standpoint, the Miami Heat might have been better in that series. But look at the Nets tonight. It's 68-31 right now, Rashad.
No, you're right.
68-31.
And you know, it's funny. I'm glad you posed that, you know, knowing what I know now, because, you know, not to shift gears, but I'm going to shift gears. I posed that same question, or a question that has the same format, on Twitter today in a poll. I said, knowing what we know now, if you had the number one overall pick and you had to choose between either Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack, who would you choose? I said I would choose Aaron Donald, just because I feel that it is harder to find interior defensive linemen that can change the game the same way.
Right. It is.
The same way an edge rusher can. Because I feel like you can find elite edge rushers more than you can find elite interior defensive linemen that can change the game in the same way.
No, I would agree with you. To find an Aaron Donald is impossible.
Yeah.
To find a Khalil Mack, while he is special and unique, you can find an edge rusher.
I agree.
Yeah. Actually, don't think that's that tough of a question now that I think about it.
Okay, well, then, now moving forward to the Dolphins, would you want the Dolphins to choose, let's say, a Christian Wilkins, or let's say, if a player like a Montez Sweat drops, would you want them to choose him?
I mean, I'm 100% down for Christian Wilkins and Ed Oliver, and I've even said the guy's name. I think his name is Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. If he drops,
got you.
I'm down for those guys. I have no problem with that. I do think, unless Ed Oliver, I think you can get those guys maybe a little bit later in the first round, though. I think Christian Wilkins, you might be gambling a little bit if you trade even a few spots down. You're gambling, because a lot of those teams in the middle of the first round, you know, Tennessee, Carolina, they would love to get a player like that. Or Atlanta, the team right behind you. But, you know, Simmons, who's probably not going to be able to play this year, he's a guy I have no idea where you could get him in the draft.
But let me ask you this. I mean, do you find it taking – well, is it more of a risk to take an interior defensive lineman than it is to take a edge rusher in this draft, at least?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you got a lot of – you have a solid group of – just defensive linemen in this draft.
I agree.
Edge rushers, defensive tackles. I mean, I cannot remember a draft as stacked as this one seems to be.
I'm
excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, same here.
You know, a few of them are going to turn out to be duds, and, you know,
of course, that always happens.
Yeah, and look, it's going to happen. The name that's leading the group is Rashawn Gary.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. His name is leading the group, but I think he might be the player that is going to turn out to be better in the NFL than he was in college. I think if he gets in the right system to where they can use him, because I could see him, a player I'm going to compare him to is a Michael Bennett. I think he's a player that can wreak havoc in the inside and wreak havoc on the outside. And I mean, if I was, you know, a GM of a team and I felt we had a system that can utilize a player like that, I would take a chance on him. Because, I mean, I look at Michael Bennett, and Michael Bennett is very, very productive. I mean, playing tackle and playing in.
Yeah, and the other thing about the edge rusher position in this draft is, and we were talking about this mm-hmm. in the break, there's a lot of the smaller school guys that could be available in the second round. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the guy's name from Old Dominion.
O'Shane Zimenez.
There's mm-hmm. Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech,
correct.
Who I think what set the record for sacks,
mm-hmm. yeah.
NCAA record. So.
Actually had 17 and a half this year, a half a sack ahead of Josh Allen from Kentucky.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think he had 45 career sacks.
Yeah, it's insane.
So, you know, that's a guy who's probably going to be available in the second round. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you end up in the first and second round with those two positions, I think you've won.
I agree.
You've won, and I know you still need to address. The thing is, there's so many holes
mm-hmm.
that unless you trade back and acquire more draft picks, and it's hard to trade back, like, incrementally the way that I've said I want mm-hmm. them to and get higher draft picks.
Yeah.
You can get, you know, maybe another second round draft if you trade all the way back to the end of the first round.
Yeah.
Which at a certain point you are sacrificing quality for quantity.
True.
And so if you come out of the first two rounds with a defensive lineman and a defensive tackle, yes, you still need probably a right tackle, a guard, a mm-hmm. cornerback. There's just too many areas to plug in right now, man.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. I think the Dolphins are going to have a lot of guys competing for roster spots that were in the AAF or that are, mm-hmm. were undrafted picks because the Dolphins only have 7 draft picks, 5 in the first 6 rounds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just think the Dolphins have to come out of Thursday with a guy that they feel can be an immediate starter and who can have an immediate impact right away, i.e. like a Minkah Fitzpatrick who – you know, had a great impact and played a lot last year. And again, I know it may be hard to find a guy that's going to mirror that type of output, but I mean, why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, why not try to go for it again?
Yeah. I find it hard, and obviously we'll have to see how the mm-hmm. draft picks pan out in a yeah. few years, but I find it hard to believe that coming out of Friday night
mm-hmm.
that we will not feel good about what the Dolphins have done in the draft. Whether they stay put and draft 3 guys, mm-hmm. or whether they trade back and pick up another third-round pick or fourth-round pick or a pick in next year's draft, I have a feeling the Dolphins, they won't mess this up because mm-hmm. it is important to plug in a lot of these positions now, especially if their plan is to next year draft a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a lot of these other positions addressed because next year's first-round pick is already probably allotted to a quarterback for the Dolphins.
Now, I'll say this real quick. I say to me, going from rounds 1, 2, and 3, I'll say edge rusher, offensive tackle, your right tackle, and I'll even say defensive tackle. I'll leave cornerback maybe a little further down the line just because, again, I like Eric Rowe. I like what he did in New England, and I think Eric Rowe will probably end up being the opening day starter alongside Xavier Howard. I think you'll have Xavier Howard, Eric Rowe, and I think you'll have Bobby McCain at his natural position, which is a nickel. And I think you'll have Minkah. I'm sorry to say this. I think Minkah will bump T.J. McDonald out of the starting lineup, and I think mm-hmm. Minkah would be next to Rashad Jones.
It would be nice if you got some contributions from your third-round pick 2 years ago in Cordray Tankersley.
Yeah, it would be. But, I mean, he's coming off an ACL injury.
Right, right.
Yeah.
When you get a guy in the third round, top 100 – you expect him to at least be a rotational player on the team, you know.
Well, you know, you hit on it. You said, you know, really they haven't had much success with third-round picks. I mean, I think the only one in recent years has been Kenyon Drake. But, you know, you look at Leonte Carew, you look at Cordrea Tankersley. I mean, those are two guys. I don't want to say, you know, you bust on those two guys, mm-hmm. but it's almost fair to say that you pretty much did bust on those two guys.
Oh, no, for sure. And
yeah.
The list goes on and on and on. And Jerome Baker looked good last year.
Yeah.
He was a third-round pick.
Correct. I forgot about him.
But you go back a few years, you got Billy Turner. You've got Dallas Thomas. I think you had Olivier Vernon in the third round. But in the same draft, you also had Michael Agnew.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The list of failed draft picks. The problem is not necessarily the third rounds. It's the first rounds. When you're missing in the first rounds,
yeah.
And you select a guy, Charles Harris, who you think is going to be your edge rusher mm-hmm. for you know the next decade, and he's a bust. And now you have to address that position again in 2 years.
Correct.
So here's what we'll do. We'll get to our commercial break here. On the other side, we'll talk to Travis Wingfield. Covers the Dolphins for Locked On Dolphins. You can follow him several different ways on Twitter, at WingfieldNFL, on LockedOnDolphins.com, or on the Locked On Dolphins podcast. He releases mock draft 1.0 the other day. Rashad, real quick, I showed it to you right before the show. Your thoughts on what you saw?
Very, very impressive. You know, I saw that he had the Dolphins trading back twice. And, I mean, it makes sense that they do trade back twice. So, I mean, very impressive. And I can't wait to hear what he has to say, because I have a couple of questions that I want to ask him.
And then the other interesting part about his mock draft, too, was that he actually traded back up in the second round.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I thought in a position where he would just be trading back, he was aggressive also in the second round. So we'll talk to Travis Wingfield on the other side, get his thoughts on the Dolphins and what they should do in the NFL draft. Should they trade back? Should they stay put? And who should they draft even if they do stay put?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get his opinions on the other side. Travis Wingfield right here on 560 WQAM.